we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE, the Refresh broadcast here brought to you by Merritt Assembly of God. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I've had the privilege of pastoring there for 23 and a half years. And this week we are leading up to next Monday being July the 4th when we celebrate Independence Day and the freedom that we have here in the country. So thank you to everyone who has helped maintain that freedom. And we want to see people free not only politically, but we also want to see them free from the ravages of sin. And we pray that if you're experiencing any bondage in any area of your life, financially, spiritually, whatever it might be, we want to see that bondage broken and you enjoy the liberty that Christ has set us free with. So thank you for tuning in. I want to remind you about Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. I cannot tell you how many people I have encountered that have had problems with their air conditioners of late. And I know that there's a lot of different AC companies. The other night, about a week ago, my wife and I went to the gym, and I was sitting in the sauna and talking to people, and one of the guys that was in there was talking about the unethical manner in which some AC people had treated him and how they had tried to alter his unit to where it would cost him more money to repair it. And if you want to eliminate that uncertainty, I encourage you to call Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. They will treat you honestly and fairly. I know when we first started the broadcast, Bill was talking about he comes to my church, loves Jesus, loves telling people about Jesus. And he got called to a person's house that listened to the radio program. They'd been told they needed a whole new unit, and he was able to get theirs up and running and save them some money. So 759-3284. If that would be a blessing in your life. And so today we want to take you to Isaiah, the 22nd chapter. We finished Isaiah, the 19th chapter the other day. We're going to skip a couple of chapters and begin talking about Isaiah chapter 22. It's a wonderful passage of scripture. We're going to touch on some aspects of it, and I don't think we'll touch on every verse. But let me just read maybe the first 14 verses, and then we'll see how far we get from there. It says in verse number 1, Isaiah 22:1, the burden against the valley of vision. What ails you now that you have all gone up to the housetops? You who are full of noise, a tumultuous city, a joyous city, your slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. All your rulers have fled together. They are captured by the archers. All who are found and you are bound together, they have fled from afar. Therefore I said, look away from me, I will weep bitterly. Do not labor to comfort me because of the plundering of the daughter of my people. For it is a day of trouble and treading down and perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls and crying to the mountain. Elam borne the quiver with chariots of men and horsemen and Kir uncovered the shield. It shall come to pass that your choicest valley shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves in array at the gate. He removed the protection of Judah. You looked in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. You also saw the damage to the city of David, that it was great, and you gathered together the waters of the lower pool. You numbered the houses of Jerusalem and the houses you broke down to fortify the wall. You also made a reservoir between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but you did not look to its maker, nor did you have respect for him who fashioned it long ago. And in that day the Lord God of hosts called for weeping and for mourning, for baldness and for girding with sackcloth, but instead of joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating meat and drinking wine, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Then it was revealed in my hearing by the Lord of hosts, surely for this iniquity there will be no atonement for you, even to your death, says the Lord God of hosts. Now, doesn't that sound like an encouraging passage of scripture to begin your work week with? So we're going to talk about this today because I believe that there are positive lessons that we can learn from the Word of God. It begins here and it says the burden against the valley of vision. And so this is a prophetic word from the Lord that comes through Isaiah, and it specifically deals with a valley. And this particular valley was called the Valley of Vision. It would be affected by the passage that said, it shall come to pass in verse number 7, that your choicest valleys shall be full of chariots. In verse number 5, it says, in the Valley of Vision, by breaking down the walls and of crying to the mountain. So I want to talk to you just a little bit about vision. I believe that you need to have God's vision for your life. I believe that you were created on purpose for a purpose, and that God's purpose is to bring about his purpose in your life. That was a lot of purpose in there. And so vision is a restraining factor. And what I mean by that is it keeps you on track. It keeps you from getting derailed or off of the course. I remember that one of the first places that I learned to drive, the very beginning stages of my driving skills was developed on a ride at an amusement park in the town I grew up in. And these were fully functioning gasoline cars. They were go-karts with car bodies on them. You would get in there, they had governors on them, so they could only go to a certain speed. They couldn't go over that speed. And when you are first learning to drive as a kid, now with these new battery operated toys and everything they've got, they learn to drive pretty young. But back then there weren't all of those type. We had a big wheel, which was like a tricycle with a really big front wheel and two smaller back wheels, and it was made out of plastic. And boy, you could really do some amazing things on them. And they've since improved on that. But you get in this car and you start to drive and you think it looks easy until you start trying to navigate curves and all of that. And the way that they kept this ride functioning was they had a rail, a monorail down the middle, and you could swerve to the left and you could swerve to the right. And no matter how bad your driving skills were, it was going to stay headed in the right direction because that rail kept you from getting off course. That's what vision is for a person, for a family. It is what keeps a church on course. It's what keeps a business on course. There isn't any area in your life that you will find a lack of vision to be beneficial. There is every area in life where you will find vision is beneficial. And so we always encouraged our kids, our young people, and that is find out what God's purpose for your life is. And when you do, pursue it with all your heart. It not only keeps you on track, but it keeps the power of God inside of you from being wasted or abused, because you know what it's got to be used on. You can take the same amount of water and you can fill a swamp with it, which will saturate the land, or you can take that and concentrate it and put it into a pressure washer, which will not which will cleanse something. It will be able to be used. In fact, I knew a guy, I still know him, and he said, "Pastor, whatever you do, when I'm using this, don't stick your hand out there in front of that stream, because it'll take your finger clean off." He said, "There's a lot of power in this. It is highly concentrated, and if somebody was to look at it, you wouldn't see this vast spray. You wouldn't think that it would have as much power as that swamp does, but it's the same amount of water. It's just coming through a very, very narrow, focused access hole. And because of that, when it emerges, it comes forth with great strength and power, efficiency, and it accomplishes great and beneficial things." And that's what vision does. It not only keeps us on track, but it keeps us from squandering the resources and the strength that we have. Someone said that strength is wasted on the young, because when you're young, you have all of this energy, but you don't have it refined. You don't have the wisdom to go with it. You don't necessarily have vision. A lot of young people think that they're invincible and they're going to live forever, and they just fail to focus the resources that they have on the vision that God has given to them. Now, so there's the benefits of vision. We could talk about that more. Habakkuk says that you should write it down and make it plain so that a runner could run with it. You should know what your vision is. At Merit Assembly of God, ours is restoring value spiritually and relationally. And so we're okay with people coming in whatever condition they are in. It doesn't matter what sin God has brought them out of or wants to bring them out of. We love people from wherever they come from. And we also love them enough to challenge them not to stay bound by those things. And so doesn't matter what your chain is labeled. We want to see God set you free from that bondage. And so a lot of times people will look at others and say, "Well, their chain is so much uglier than my chain is." Here's what I've been described. If you're in prison, it doesn't matter where it is. If you can't go where you want to go, it's a prison. And there might be some prisons that are in worse conditions than another, but if they prevent you from living in freedom, it's still a prison. The same thing applies for a chain. It doesn't matter if it's rusted. It doesn't matter if it's nice, shiny, brand new. If it's plastic or if it's metal, it doesn't matter if it's yellow or purple or green or orange. It doesn't matter if you paint it the color of the psychedelic rainbow. Whatever you want to, a chain is still a chain. And God doesn't want you to be in bondage. He wants you experiencing freedom. So with vision, there can be times, and I'm just going to touch on this briefly. I'm not going to camp here very long. And that is, there will be times where you have a valley. This is called the valley of vision. This is the burden of the valley of vision. And I have no doubt that this was actually talking about a specific valley that the audience of Isaiah would have reference to. But for us, I would like to just let you know that there will be times where your vision is right there and it needs to be dealt with right then and there. It's a critical moment. There will be other times where there may be lulls. Someone described that when the prophets saw prophecy of old, that they saw like the mountaintops, that they saw this taking place and they saw something else taking place, and they would speak about those things, but they couldn't necessarily tell you about the duration of time in between those mountain peaks. And so in between those valleys of the vision of your life, you need to stay faithful. Stay faithful. Continue to nurture the word of God, the promise of God. Continue to reinforce that. Surround yourself with people who believe in what God has imparted to you. build yourself up in your most holy faith, because valleys don't last forever. Okay. And so I want to encourage you, the last thing you and I want is a plateaued experience with God. I would rather have seasons where there are mountaintop experiences, where you think that, you know, God is just conquering the world through you. And then also those valleys are not ugly places. Valleys can be beautiful places, because all of the blessings and the benefits that came down upon those mountains, it all comes down, it all flows into the valley, and the valley is where the growth, it's where the agriculture takes place. Mountaintops are generally not beautiful in and of themselves. Valleys are beautiful. Valleys are where flowers grow. Valleys are where lots of creatures live, and beautiful creations of God's hand. Valleys can be beautiful places. We tend to think of valleys as being depressed places. I want to tell you today that if you have a promise from God and you haven't seen it come to pass yet, don't worry. God's got the timing all in hand. Jesus was born when the fullness of time had come. There was a lot of preparation that he did in society between the time of the prophecy and the time of the fulfillment of the prophecy, and the same will be true with you. Paul, on his road to Damascus and his encounter with Ananias in the city of Damascus, there were great things that were spoken about Paul's life. There was also a season of about 14 years that was in there that you could call a spiritual valley. It would be the valley of vision. It would be that valley in between when the word came and when the word left. Now, like I said, I believe Isaiah is probably talking about a specific valley here. But for you and I, we need to say, God, I want your vision for my life. I don't want my vision. I want your vision. I tell you what I've learned, and that is God's vision for my life is always better than my vision for my life. And God's timing is always better than my timing. So if it's been a while, don't get too discouraged by that. But instead, just trust that God's got everything under control. In verse number 4, it says, therefore I said, look away from me, I will weep bitterly. Do not labor to comfort me because of the plundering of the daughter of my people. For it is a day of trouble and treading down and perplexity. And so it describes that there was a lot of death taking place. Your slain men are not slain with a sword, nor dead in battle. All your rulers have fled together. They are captured by the archers. All who are found in you are bound together. They have fled from afar. It was a day where the enemies that they were facing were overwhelming them. They were so distraught that they wouldn't even fight. They would run away. And I want you to know that be strong and of good courage is still a good command. It was good wisdom from God for Joshua, and it is good wisdom for you and I today. And so when Isaiah is writing this in verse number 4, he says, look away from me, I will weep bitterly. Do not labor to comfort me because of the plundering of the daughter of my people. And when Isaiah saw the societal devastation that was going on, it grieved him. It made him sorrowful. And he said, don't even try to comfort me when I see what is going on with God's covenant people. Now, I want you to know that just like we talked about last week with the word against Egypt, that it doesn't end that way. This is a season that is going to have a better result. It's going to end up with some ungodly people being removed from their positions of influence and being replaced. And so I want to encourage you by that. We tend to be overwhelmed with the now of the circumstances. And we need God to give us the perspective of the finished product. He says, I know the end from the beginning. And so a lot of times we see the process and it is very, very upsetting and very disturbing. Now, I've told you before, I like to watch these home improvement programs, and I know that a lot of those are dramatized for effect and things like that. But it, I tell you what really just grates on me and gets under my skin and annoys the thunder out of me, and that is whenever they have the people come in and see the condition of the house, and they say, you know, I thought it'd be prettier than this by now. I thought we'd be further along in the process. How many of you listening today thought that by now you would be closer to being out of debt? You thought you would have been promoted by now. You thought that by now your marriage would be better. You thought by now your children would be walking with the Lord. And so I want to encourage you today that if you're discouraged about where things currently are, it is okay to grieve. It is okay to come before the throne of grace, but please do not write the end to that story yet. Please Please decree the lordship of Jesus Christ over those situations, because he's not done yet. As long as there is breath, there is still hope. And so if it's a difficult season right now, I just want to encourage you that God has not retired and he is still working on the situation. And so it talks about that there's a military assault, and it says he removed the protection of Judah and looked in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. And so it talks about people that flee to a safer place. You also saw the damage to the city of David, that it was great. And you gathered together the waters of the lower pool. You see, in military attacks, in historical records, one of the greatest weapons that you had was the control of the water supply and the control of the food supply. And so as a self-defense mechanism, Hezekiah actually had built an aqueduct that would keep Jerusalem supplied with water even if Jerusalem was under siege. It's still there today. And so said, you gathered together the waters of the lower pool. You numbered the houses of Jerusalem and the houses you broke down to fortify your wall. And so what they did was they actually demolished residences inside the city to use the stones and whatever bricks might have been there to reinforce the wall, to try and establish their perimeter defenses to be more substantial. It said you also made a reservoir between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but you did not look to its maker, nor did you have respect for him who fashioned it long ago. Now, here's what God is correcting them for. And please believe me, I am thankful when God speaks correction into my life. And I encourage you that if God is correcting something in you, don't be like a teenager and throw a temper tantrum and say, you don't love me, you just treat me bad. Please understand, God is trying to make you and I the best that we can be. And what the prophet is saying here is you have looked to your own resources instead of looking to the God who gave you the resources in the first place. Today, there's probably a vast diversity as far as socioeconomic abilities of people who are listening, experience. And I want to encourage you, use the resources you have, but don't make them a substitute for God. Today, look to God first, and he will give you the wisdom and the insight on how to use the resources. You know, if we would look to God, we would not find ourselves under attack as frequently as we are. And so I want to encourage you today, look to God as your priority. There's a story that travels around preachers' circles, and it talks about people who are in an extreme predicament, and they have tried everything, and finally the advisor comes in and says, sir, the only recourse that we have at this time is to pray for a miracle. And the person says, has it come to that? Has it come down to where all we can do is pray? And I want you to know that prayer is no substitute for action. Prayer is what we do so that we know from God and hear from God what action to take. It is not that the situation has come down to prayer. It is that the situation is waiting for us to pray so that God can tell us what to do. Please do not wait for the crisis before you start crying out to God. Cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. Look to God today. Today's Monday. You know, we are a society that believes in new opportunities and second chances and third chances and fourth chances. And I don't know how many weeks that you have been alive. But I want you to look at today as a new opportunity. And if you've got some things in your life where you've been looking to the wrong places, that today you will start looking in the right place. I have been pastoring the church. I'm doing a little bit of math here right now. I've been pastoring Merit Assembly of God for about 1,225 weeks, somewhere in there. It's pretty close. You know what? Let's start this week off by looking to God and saying, God, what do you have for us? If you're under attack right now, cry out to Him and say, God, I know that you have a plan. If you are waiting for a promise from God to come to pass, look to Him, cry out to Him and say, God, keep me faithful. Keep me faithful. Keep me on track. Keep me true to the vision that you have. If you're not going through a season at adversity, hang in there. One's probably coming your way sooner or later. God wants us to grow. Let's cry out to Him and pray today. Father, Lord, we've all failed you a lot of times in not looking to you, not looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. But Lord, this is a new day and this is a new opportunity. We look to you today. Thank you for the resources. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for your faithfulness. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adoration. Leave me speechless, and I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.